Hello, friends, and welcome to the Awaken to Wholeness Summit. I'm Val Salidker. Today, we have an amazing speaker who is empowering people around the world with practical tools and techniques to help make significant shifts in their lives. Hay House author of a life-changing book called Directing Your Destiny, Jennifer Grace. Jennifer was voted Best Life Coach 2015 in the New Times and is a contributor for Mind Body Green and the Huffington Post. Jennifer is also the new Train the Trainer for the Stanford-based course, The Creative Insight Journey, and is training others globally to teach this proven methodology, which helps students get unstuck in their lives. She currently leads workshops and courses in Miami at the Standard Hotel, where she is a resident coach, as well as online. Her retreat company, Om Lux, takes individuals to divine destinations while also donating 100% of the proceeds to different causes in the regions they're visiting. Jen, it's so great to have you. You're absolutely rocking it in the world.
Thank you, Val.
Welcome. Thank you. And it's been so wonderful over the years for us to collaborate. You know, we've had such an opportunity to just play together and create together in, you know, many different places for many different audiences. And it's been wonderful to collaborate with you.
It is, always.
Yeah. So you have such a diverse background. I mean, from Wall Street to the screen as a SAG actress and everything in between. And I'd love to know how your journey, your own creative insight journey, led you to do the work that you're doing and just sort of dive into this personal development work.
Yeah, I think, you know, being on Wall Street and coming out of that and then going into my acting, it was almost like I was falling into things. And it really wasn't until I took a class that I am now a trainer for that I started really mindfully designing my life. Like, life was just happening to me, and then I began to make it happen. So I had come from the Wall Street career and I was married and I dove back into kind of a childhood love of acting for a while. And then when I got divorced, I was at this real crossroads. And I think that's a time where a lot of people come to personal development when they are, you know, there in the big black hole of the future and they don't know exactly where to go and what to do. And that's when we reach out for allies. And we reach out for help. And of course, the Oprah Book Club was just launching and was reading Celestine Prophecy and Seed of the Soul and all those amazing first books. And actually, it was my mother, who is such a trailblazer. She opened up women's centers in the 70s with Gloria Steinem. Another woman that she had worked with, Julia Romaine, had this course that they had taken out of Stanford University, given to 400 women that lost their husbands in 9/11. And it was a life reinvention class. And so she knew that I was really struggling, trying to find my way. I'd started a bunch of companies and trying to find my purpose, and just nothing was working. Brick wall after brick wall. So I took this course, The Creative Insight Journey, and it's 8 weeks. And I think like week five, I just popped. And I was like, this is it. You know, I want to take this to South Florida. I want to share this with my community. It was, you know, a way for people to get clear, get out of their own way, figure out their life's purpose. And it was working for me. So I quickly got certified and really have not looked back ever since.
Wow. And you've just been creating nonstop ever. It's like creativity was unleashed.
Totally.
You're nonstop now. I mean, you have so many amazing things that you do. Today we're going to focus on diving into creativity, you know, what that has looked like in your life. Because for me, like when I look at you, you are a living example of everything that you teach. You know, you talk about these things and how to apply them, and then people just watch you go. And you're like, here it is. I'm doing it. You want to learn how to do it? Jump in. You know, it's amazing. And you teach in such a grounded, authentic way. And what you bring for people is so useful and so practical. And like I said, grounded, you know, everybody can connect to the work that you teach. It's very powerful.
Thank you. And I think that style of teaching came out of my own sort of like frustration of, you know, reading all of this esoteric spiritualism. And it felt like a slippery fish to me. Like, you know, even when I watched the movie, The Secret, it was like, I get it, but I can't apply it. You know, like I understand we have the, you know, the ability to create our realities. Like I get all of this stuff, but it was like all up here. And it was so hard for me to say like, who's got the manual? You know, like, how do we actually work with this quantum field? How do we, you know, get out of our own way and overcome the fears so we can get that creative goal that's like right outside of our reach? And it was from that I just really searched for the most practical tools. And then, you know, eventually as I dove deeper, came up with a lot of my own, just so that it was clear, concise, and practical. And here's a tool, here's how you use it. So thank you. It's something that I really stand for, is that practicality inside of spirituality.
And I think it's so important, everything that you just mentioned, because, you know, there's a language. We all have a different language, a way of speaking the work that we do. And a lot of us are doing very similar things in our own unique language, which is an invitation, you know, to everybody, because we all speak in our own way. So the work that you do brings a certain, you know, type of person that really connects with that message, or the work that I do, the work that, you know, Peter Russell does, who's also part of our summit. You know, everybody has this unique way of speaking these truths.
Yes. And Louise Hayes said to me once, she said, you know, you all could be up there, and Wayne Dyer's saying it, and Cheryl Richards is saying it, and you're saying it, and you're all saying the same thing. But this woman over there hears it when you say it, and this man over there hears it when he says it. And it's so fascinating, because we are all, you know, showing this path, and it's just the resonance, you know, it's the way that we deliver it that lands with somebody, which is so great when you have a summit like this, you know, so that there's all these different perspectives and ways of being, and it just, light bulbs will go on at different times for different people. So, you know, the people that like the wise ass chicks from Brooklyn who are no nonsense.
The girl. And she can rap too, folks.
Oh, yeah.
So everything we're, this is really what it is. And so in saying this, you know, the invitation is for all of us and everybody listening to look inside of ourselves and say, well, what is my unique way of sharing my gifts with the world? You know, how do I get past the things that make me feel stuck? Right? Or the fears that keep me paralyzed inside of myself, feeling small and like I'm not ready or like I don't have it. And recognize that only I can bring this in the way that I can bring it. You know, there's nobody in the world like you. There's nobody in the world like me or anybody else. We all hold such a unique piece of that. And so when we are able to access our own creativity in that way, when we come to the other side of fear, really, because that's what it is, it's like this complete endless capacity for creativity at the other side of fear. So when we're able to access that inside of ourselves, everything is possible. And we can really dive into who we are and live it into the world most powerfully.
Yeah. I think one of the number one things that I have students say to me is, oh, I have this great idea for this business or this great idea for this book, but it's already been done before.
Done it, right.
And I'm like, dude, it has not been done if it hasn't been done through you. That's what makes it unique. Exactly. And that's really something that we have to remember. And of course, the Itty Bitty Shitty Committee has a field day, you know, saying that your idea is not original, that's stupid, it's been done before. And we get to, you know, notice that and say, yeah, but you know what? This is my remix.
Exactly. And I think that's also the beauty of having a teacher or mentor with something that, like for you, you know, studying in a creative insight journey and doing that through Stanford and taking all of this in and having this aha, and then finding your own unique contribution and your own voice within that to evolve it, you know, because that's how we're evolving on this level and our level of consciousness, but we're standing on the shoulders of giants. We have to take it all in. You know, even Mozart had to learn how to read music, you know, before he created his own thing. And so it's like that for all of us. to have a teacher, to have a mentor, and then to find our own unique contribution within that by tapping into our creativity and the confidence that is naturally ours. It's always here.
And I think another really important thing for people to remember when they are, you know, brewing that creative idea, when they've had that, you know, aha moment, whether it's when they were driving or running or in the shower and they're like, ah, I got it, you know, that there is a myth, you know, that it's great idea success. You know, some people might look at myself and say, wow, Jen, you had a great idea to write a book and now it's, you know, on the shelves at Barnes and Noble's. Or Val, wow, look, you had a great idea to launch the Zen Cruise series and boom, there you've got hundreds of people on the boat and everybody's there. That's amazing. But as we know, it's not great idea success. You know, it's an entire process. And actually, you know, something that comes from the first week module that I teach from the Stanford course is the six stages of the creative process. And I think it's really important for people to understand that there are these six stages, and it gives you a map of where you are and then where you need to go next. And the beauty of this map is that after stage one, which is your great idea, you actually hit stage two, which is frustration. Things don't go as planned. And when I learned this, it gave me permission to be stuck. And that was gold, you know, because you know what happens? People are like, got this great idea. And then boom, they hit the brick wall of frustration. The funding falls through.
Yeah.
Right. Or the self-doubt comes in, or the business partner that was going to join, you know, does something else, or whatever the circumstance. That's when 99.999% of people go home and give up. They said, oh, well. But when you learn that that is actually part of the process, you know that there is something waiting for you the other side, and then you can just pat yourself on the back, say, all right, there you go. You are in stage two. You're exactly moving right along just where you're supposed to be in the pit of frustration. And
I know when we talked about this before, that we talked about how these six stages in some way actually mirror Joseph Campbell's hero journey. So,
absolutely.
Right? And so even as you're saying this, I'm thinking about that call, you know, that you're living in your ordinary world and there's this call, this great idea. And then we refuse the call, you know, because that's the next thing that happens. We're like, I'm being called to this. Oh no, I can't. Oh, I'm not ready. Oh, that's not for me. All that, what itty bitty shitty committee. I love that. Yeah, exactly. So it is, so even as you're saying this, I'm thinking about the hero journey because it's our own little journey, right?
It actually, if you look at the creative process and you look at the hero's journey, it both looks like a little bit of an upside down uterus. That's the journey. And stage two of the creative process is brick wall of frustration. And stage two of the hero's journey is the calling, you know, where you hear that little knock. I'm not living my life's purpose in my 9-to-5, or the little knock of like, I have a book inside me that's screaming to get out. And, you know, the knock gets louder and louder and louder. And eventually the hero has to take the call, you know, and that's where you get to exhibit fearlessness, which is not the absence of fear, but the presence of bravery, you know, to actually take the plunge. So when the hero takes the plunge, they go to stage three, which is initiation. And at the bottom of the hero's journey is a big question mark. I don't know. I know that I'm not living my life's purpose, but I don't know what it is yet. I know I have a book inside of me, but I don't know quite how to start it or finish it or what the thread is yet. And, or I have this idea for a business, but I don't know how to execute it yet. So there's the hero hanging out in this initiation stage, and it's a big unknown, and it takes faith. It takes faith in your creativity, you know, and what do you do when you're at the bottom of the pit? You know, there you are, you're all alone. You don't know what to do. What do you do? I mean, what do you do, Val, when you don't know what to do?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind when you say that is I allow myself to surrender to the uncertainty or to the not knowing. Like, yeah, be okay with not knowing. And yes, then a lot of times what I'll do is I'll tap into things that jumpstart my brain or my creativity. So I'll do exercises, or I'll connect with different people, or brainstorm with people, or I'll read some books, or I'll go for a walk and do nothing about it whatsoever and take my mind completely off of it and relax and rest and just breathe into it. And most of the time, when I don't try so hard, actually the majority of the time for sure, when I don't try hard at all, and I just allow myself to relax into what I know is inside of me, it comes.
So you just illustrated this exactly. Okay, ready? So there are three strategies to get out of the pit of frustration. First, you have to surrender. So that was, you nailed that. Then the first strategy is using your intellect and brainstorming with allies, going back and forth, talking to people who already know, have been there, done that, that you can just pull in an expert and just say, hey, can I bounce some ideas off with you? Then number two is do something physical, which is to do nothing to do with your idea. Go for a walk, take a yoga class, take your mind off of it. And number three is do something spiritual, meditation, journaling, visioning, you know, whatever. And that strategy with allies and with your resources is going to set you up for stage five, which is breakthrough, illumination. You're like, oh, I know how to get over the brick wall of frustration. And you land in stage six, which is verification. Your great idea is real in the world. It's actualized. So you've been there a million times, you know, we've all been there. Every great entrepreneurial idea. How about making this summit series? Did you go on a hero's journey or what?
I'm on it right now, Jen.
Technical stuff and getting all the speakers and oh my goodness, hero's journey, like in action.
I will say this. As soon as you make that first breakthrough, like, you know, for me, the first time that I ever got this, and again, with my own process and language, that I got it and I was like, this is possible. Like, I'm capable of this. Wow. Yes. Like, look what, the first time I ever created an event, you know, it was like, you know, well, 15 years ago, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to run out of club and I'm going to just do this nonprofit event and I'm going to put all this money into it and I'm going to bring some friends and musicians and stuff together and see what happens. And we were raising money for kids in distress and we raised thousands of dollars and it was amazing. And I took care of, I'm like, wow, I can do this. I'm really good at this. And it, all of a sudden it just hit me. Anything is possible. Anything that I have an idea for, I can make it happen. And it gave me such confidence to feel myself succeed in that even just the very first time. And even on a smaller level before that big one hit, you know? And after that, it's like unstoppable. Anything I think, I have an idea for this. What do I need? Here we go. And then the obstacles come up, the challenges come up, you know, and you move through them with grace and you breathe through them and you surrender to that. You do all the things that you need to do to bring that vision to reality, which is what we're talking about. But yeah, once you feel it, once you really embody it the first time, you recognize that we all are so powerful. Every single one of us is able to do this.
Yes. And I think what you and I have in common is we leap, then we look and figure it out. Now, a lot of other leaders in transformation and friends of mine have what's called the perfectionist gene.
Oh, yes.
And they're not going to do anything until it's perfect. And I challenge them on that. And I say to them, you know what? I sincerely feel that what lies underneath perfectionism is either the fear of failure or the fear of success.
Absolutely.
And I am all for putting out a polished project, crossing my T's and dotting my I's. And there's a lot of times where I'll just say, you know what? F it. It's good enough. We're going. And we're doing phase one and we're going to figure it out while we're out there. So if you are somebody who has labeled themselves a perfectionist in the past, I really want you to drop in and just ask yourself, what is the worst thing that will happen if I fail? And can I handle that? And the answer is probably yes. You know, because failure, I mean, the thing that most comes up for people is,
other people will laugh at me, right?
Yeah.
I'll look stupid. And here's the secret. No one's paying attention to us. They're not. They're too worried about their failures. It's like a blip, you know? And for me, it's like, if you fail and you fall flat on your face, at least you're moving forward,
and
right?
About failure too, I want to say, like, failure, you know, that's a rough word. Like we take that and it has such a heavy meaning when we say it.
Yeah.
But here's the reality. We learn to walk after falling a million times. If we didn't fall a million times, we would still be crawling. So these failures are really like, they really provide us with great information about how to make tiny shifts or large shifts that then leap us into the next level of whatever it is that we're working on. So a failure is really a successful opportunity to learn something important about what we need to do. And that's it. It's like the old adage, you know, practice makes perfect. If you don't practice, you're not going to get there. We practice by doing, not by just thinking about it. It's the same thing with how, you know, when we talk about creating the world we want and creating our lives and, you know, putting that into play, you can't just do it by sitting back and eating bonbons and thinking, I want this. No, you have to take action steps to make it happen in your life. And when you take those steps, you start to feel the possibility. And when you feel the possibility, you start to believe it. And it's all about believing it. Once you believe that you can do it, it's done. You know, that is like 99% of it, believing in yourself, knowing that you can do this. And then letting those falls, you know, bring you forward, fall forward, fall forward, fall forward.
Like data, it's information. Like when I submitted my book to Hay House the first time, they rejected it. And I literally did not look at that as a failure. To me, it was an indication that I had not brought my A game. And I went back and I redid my book proposal. I understood that what publishers are really looking for is authors that are also going to be out there marketing and promoting themselves. And so I hit the social media and the Facebook and the Twitter and up my followers. And I got myself booked on a national television show. And, you know, I got a different editor and a new press release. And I came back around and I said, how about now? And they said, yes. And what if they would have said no? You know, I would have just let the itty bitty shitty committee win because it was having a field day. It was like, see, I told you your idea wasn't original up. The market is saturated with self-help books about manifestation. You're a moron. And I was like, thank you very much. I'm going to go handle this, you know? And I just kept at it and I was persistent, you know? And that's the brick wall of frustration. The things we have to do when we hit that brick wall of frustration and things don't go as planned, whether it's a failure or whatever's coming up that stopped you. You hold on to your faith and your creativity, because if you know who you are and you are in alignment with your vision and your purpose, you know, you have to just beat to the sound of your own drum. And if you feel like people are judging you or rejecting you, you know, you've got to access that part of you that's like, I'm not going to give up, and let go of the expectation of how it was all supposed to work out. So something that I teach a lot is holding on to the what and letting go of the how. Because a lot of times you know what you want, but you don't know how it's going to happen. And that stops people. What, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to get the money. Don't worry about the how. Focus on your creativity. Focus on your what. You put your head down. You learn from your failures, your mistakes. You collect data. You keep going. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the second like how reveals itself. Like when Joseph Campbell says, the doors will open to you where you didn't know they were going to be. Just follow your heart and follow your passion.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So failures are awesome.
Yeah, yay for those.
Yay. That's for it.
And also it's like the and doing things, like, you know, when I think about all the events that I've done or all the workshops that I did, it only has gotten stronger and better because we're learning as we go.
Yeah.
Coming back to that practice makes perfect. Give yourself the chance to practice by doing it without expectations, as you're saying. You know, so important, so powerful, Jen. And some people also.
Yeah, one other thing I want to say. Yeah. I think a great thing that I've learned recently in some personal development training that I have been doing for myself is when you have something occur, you look at what worked, what didn't work, what was missing, and what can I add next time? So what worked, what didn't work, what was missing, and what can I add next time? And it's just evaluating, you know, without the judge saying you failed, just like, okay. And then it's just better and better and better and better.
How can I do this better? What did I learn from this experience? What worked? Yeah. I love that. That's perfect. Yeah. Because we need to do it. And when we're doing things, we don't want to do it mindlessly either. We want to be able to ask ourselves those deeper questions about what's going on. And do I love this also? Because sometimes we have an
idea of
something and we get started on it and we're like, well, I started it. Let me just kind of finish it. And you realize you're really not in it. It's really not the direction you want to go. And you know what? Another great piece of information. Because now you can start looking in a new direction because you realize that's not where you want it to be. But you've got to
absolutely
dive into those things to understand yourself a little more clearly, right? So again, yes, none of these are really failures. They're just like little successes that look differently than what you expected.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, you tell this wonderful story when it comes to, the, you know, jumping in and doing these things, procrastination and getting started and believing in yourself about Will and Grace. And I would love to invite you to tell that story because it just hits me in the heart every time. I love it.
So, okay. So I met Will and Grace on 1/11/11, and I had been at my first retreat, and I was standing out in front of 18 of my students, and I made a declaration. I said, I feel ecstatic that I am now a Hay House author. And that was a really bold statement because I hadn't written one single word of the book that was living inside of me. But I went downstairs and I went into my hotel room. There's a little knock on the door and I answered the door and it's Will. And I said, hey, Will, what are you doing here? And he said, hey, Jen. He's like, you know, I heard you on that mountaintop say you were going to write a book. And for Hay House, you know, you're actually going to have to sit down and write it. And I was like, well, I don't have the time. And he said, you know, you're never going to find the time to live the life of your dreams. You have to create it. So what's it going to be? So I scanned my crazy busy life and I thought, well, I guess I could wake up from 5:30 to 6:30 a.m. before my son gets up and write maybe just 1 hour a day. So we did the math and we figured out that actually if I just wrote 1 hour a day and banged out about 500 words, in 4 months only I would have a 50,000 word manuscript. And I was like, wow, that's totally doable. So I set my alarm. Next morning goes off at 5:30 a.m. What do you think I do? 11 times. So then I think, all right, the next day comes, I'm going to, you know, how to outwit that self-sabotager that doesn't want to get up for the gym or write the book or work on the entrepreneurial, you know, endeavor. And I take my phone and I actually create an event and I put it in there. And the next morning it goes off 5:30 a.m. and I look at it and it says, Jen, do you want it or not? And I had to answer that question every morning. Do you want it or not? And every morning the answer was yes. And so Will and I got up and we wrote. And at the end of those 4 months, we had a 50,000 word manuscript. And then it was time for Grace to arrive. And Grace comes in those serendipitous moments. And it's kind of like you're in the right place at the right time. But it comes from all the will that you have put out there that Grace just says, and here you are. And I found myself standing 1 week after that manuscript was finished in front of Wayne Dyer. And I asked him if he would be kind enough to read it for me and give me some feedback. And he said yes. And then he directed me to a Hay House contest, which Will, Grace, and I went to. And of course, like I said earlier, I submitted and they rejected me. And I came back and Will and I just got to work and I submitted again and they accepted me. And I was lucky enough to win that contest, not only to get the book deal with Hay House, but also to have a radio show. And I was sandwiched between, for 3 years, Esther Hicks and Wing Dyer. What a great spot to have on the radio. So I would listen to her before I would go on Abraham Hicks. And afterwards, I got to listen to Wing. And I couldn't have done it without Will and Grace. You know, because Will is that tenacity, that perseverance, that action. And Grace is the letting go and trusting and allowing that the right person at the right time is going to come in the right moment in this divine orchestration that has been laid out just for you. So you can feel them in your body. It's too much Will when you're driving and striving and pushing and you're doing 2.5 networking meetings and you're Twittering and you're Facebooking and you're blue in your face and you're lying in bed and you're throbbing at night. And you're in too much Grace, like you said before, when you're sitting on the couch eating bonbons thinking that, you know, your destiny is going to knock on your door. So you need them both in order to take that creative idea that's living inside of your mind and make it into reality. You know, you need the will and then you need the grace. It's kind of like, Val, if I could sum it up, will is the art of making it happen and grace is the art of letting it happen.
Yes.
So beautiful. It's a good tool.
It's such a powerful tool and it's such a powerful reminder. I love, do you want it? Do you really
want it?
You have to ask yourself that question. Because I think, you know, so many times we do want, and we not just to like accomplish things or set out to create projects or things, but even in our personal behaviors, you know, in the ways that we act, our habits that we form, that we want to shift, but it could be anything. And even like smoking cigarettes or, you know, something like that. Yeah. Where I don't want it, but I'm going to eat this chocolate cake, you know, and yeah. We find ourselves coming into contact with will so often and really asking ourselves, you know, that question, how much do I want it? Do I want this or not? It's such a constellation.
Yeah. looking at competing desires is a really interesting thing. And I would love to talk a little bit about procrastination because that's what comes up when you get to say, do I want it or not? You know, and I know that I am a reformed professional procrastinator and would still be unless I had all of these little sneaky tools to outwit the self-sabotager, procrastinator that lives inside of all of us. I mean, freaking own it, right? We procrastinate.
Yes. Or the story that says, I work so great under pressure.
Yeah.
So I'm giving myself that pressure by procrastinating to the last possible moment to get it done because that's when I do my best work.
Right.
Ooh, I know that story too well.
Yes. And I think I would love to share some tools with everybody around procrastination because it's really what stops us, right? So the first thing, well, I'll go back to competing desires for a second, but I think the first thing is really important to know is what type of procrastinator are you? So I'm going to give you the quiz here, Val. No. Okay. Think of a dream. Everybody just think of a dream that you are so passionate about achieving, a creative goal, something that you've been longing for. It could even be weight loss. It could be to start a project, a non-for-profit, just anything that you've been wanting, but you haven't done it yet. So you either feel stopped, stalled, or spun. So if you feel stopped, that means you're paralyzed. You think about this dream and it's so overwhelming and so much fear and anxiety comes up that you are just stopped. The second is you're spun, okay? So this is this type of procrastinator. They start 20 million projects and they're like, oh, I'm gonna start this and then I'm gonna do this and then I'm gonna start this and then nothing gets done because they're spread too thin and they don't have that follow through. Great seed planters, but no follow through and execution. And then the last is the staller. So here's the staller, right? You're ready. You set up some creative hours, you know, every morning from 6:30 to 7:30, I'm going to write my book. We're all ready. And you sit down and you're like, oh shit, I have to pee. And then you come back and you're like, ding. Oh, let me check that email. Hold on a second. I think I have to.
Definitely been guilty of this from time to time.
Right? Oh my God. Professional staller. Still. So here's how to overcome that shit. Are we allowed to curse in this?
Bring it on.
Okay. So can't take the girl out of Brooklyn. What's that phrase? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. All
right. So if you feel stopped, overwhelmed, paralyzed by fear, I want you to work with this phrase and put it on a couple of post-its around your home. Overwhelmed is just thought. Overwhelmed is just a thought. So we have this amazing capacity to put ourselves in a tailspin. You know, you ever be getting ready to like go on a trip and your friend calls and you're like, oh my God, I can't talk to you right now. I got to do the laundry. I got to pack it. I got to get my kid. Blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
Or you could say, overwhelmed is just a thought. Hi, I can't talk right now. I've got a lot to do. I'm going to do the best that I can do, but can I call you later? You have complete control over that. Yeah. Complete control over that. And the other thing that I suggest is to chunk it down. Mm-hmm. Little tiny baby steps. Mm-hmm. You know, look at everything as the how, the what, and the by when. Mm-hmm. What? I want to write a book. How? I'm going to write for 1 hour every day. By when? April 11th, 2011. That was my how, what, by when to write my first draft. And I'll tell you right now, it was a shitty first draft. Give yourself permission, please, to suck, to write a shitty first draft. Just like get it, lay the bones down. That's what editors are there for. That's what people and collaborators are there for. Then you get to like zhuzh it and make it fabulous. Okay, then number two is the spinner. You're starting too many projects and finishing none. For me and you, right, we're highly creative women. We've got a gazillion ideas and workshops and events and projects and yay! And we would literally drop dead if we did them all at once.
Absolutely.
And so I have a little creative shelf and it's up there, right? And I have my business and then I allow myself to pull down one of my creative projects every quarter. I say, okay, you know what now, Jen? It's time to write your second book. And until that is complete, I do not glance up there and say, okay, Jen, now it's time to launch your Facebook Live TV show that's been up there for a while, or the movie that you want to be, you know, it's all up there.
Yeah.
But I'm smart enough to know, do your business and one creative project at a time, bring it completely into fruition, and then go on to the next.
Absolutely.
And then finally, us, the stallers, the stallers, the stallers, the stallers. Okay, so really, it comes down to this. It's all about timing. Get a block of time.
Yeah.
Set your timer for 1 hour or 30 minutes. When it goes off, you have a five-minute break. You can go pee, do the laundry. Make sure you handle everything. Cut down the phone. Cut off the, you know, internet. Cut down the email.
Media.
That's it. And be highly intentional. You know what distracts you. If you have to work at the library or Starbucks, like set yourself up for success, like out with the self-sabotager. And I also put up like a thing on my computer that says, your ass cannot get up off this seat until the timer goes off.
Nice.
You know, I write for other people and I have articles and deadlines and I screw around. And then it's like, oh my God, I got to go get my son. And it's done.
Yeah.
So highly intentional, scheduled in time blocks with a break, all distractions handled before you start.
I love this. I'm taking this in so much right now because I think one of my greatest challenges is time management. And you know me, like I take on huge projects.
I know you do.
They need help with this and they need help with that. And I've learned the art of the sacred no. Like to be able to say, no, I can't do that right now. My plate is too full is really the huge yes to myself.
Yeah.
And that's what I've realized. It's not really no, it's yes.
Yes.
That's helped me to clear my space and focus on one to two things at a time that I can manage.
Yeah.
The rest of it is that. It's that I'm the third one. You know, it's like I get distracted and I've got my son, my little toddler, you know, and I'm like, I'm trying to balance a lot. And so creating those blocks and putting those messages and looking at how I manage my time is the most important thing to me. And when I get that right, I get it done. And that's,
do.
I feel it. It's such a difference. And I get it done with more grace. I get it done without that frantic feeling of, oh my God, how am I going to do all this? It's okay. I can see how I'm going to do all this. Here's my block. Here's this. This is kind of compartmentalize this over here. You know? So you are speaking to me and everybody else, but I hear you, Jen.
Yes. Great. And yeah. For those of us that say yes to everything, my thing is, let me get back to you in 24 hours on that. I'm a yes girl. I'm like, yeah, totally. I'm in. You know, so I've learned the hard way. But I'm like, you know what? Let me think about it and I'm gonna get back to you. It sounds like a great idea, but I need to just think about it for a minute. So that's like usually my answer. And I forgot there was something else that I was gonna here's the other thing. Give yourself permission to renegotiate a commitment that you've made. If you have gone out there and spread yourself too thin and said yes to everybody, you want to be always in integrity, and I get that. And I am such a woman of my word, and it is your word to make, and it is your word to break. As long as you are in full communication with the person, you create an alternative that works for everybody, and you're clear that, you know what? I made a mistake. I thought I could take this on, and what's happening is it is causing me an enormous amount of stress and anxiety. And if you would be so kind to allow me to renegotiate this promise that I've made to you, and I'd like to make good on it, but the way that we've set it up just isn't working for my life right now. And I'm sorry. Absolutely. So you get to renegotiate your promises.
And that's such a great, that's great advice too, Jen, because it's not only honoring yourself, but it's also honoring the other person. Because
absolutely,
you show up in your fullness, you know, and really be present to whatever you say yes to, you're doing a disservice to everybody. And this gives you an opportunity to find someone who can. So it really is in everybody's best interest to honor that.
Wonderful. I agree.
Yeah.
100% tile.
Yes. So this is all so good. I mean, everything we're talking about is just, I think it probably hits home for so many of us. And I'd love to invite you to offer some kind of an embodied experience as well. So can we kind of feel in this? That would be so beautiful.
Okay, great.
Yeah, like just feel in our bodies to take this home with us.
All right, awesome. Well, I have a really cool experience from the Creative Insight Journey. It's called Crossing the Ravine. And it's a guided experience that gives you an opportunity to go on like a visual hero's journey. And it's an opportunity to look at what you do when you come up upon the edge of your creativity. You know, do you leap? Do you look? Do you retreat? Do you get paralyzed? Like, who are you when you come to the edge of something? So how this works is I'm going to guide you all through a guided visualization. And then once I'm done with the guided visualization, I'm going to have you remain with your eyes closed. And during that time, I'm going to ask you a series of questions that you can just answer back to yourself in your own mind's eye. And then we're going to open our eyes and come back. Now, during this visualization, there is going to be a point where you are going to have 2 minutes of time where you will not hear my voice at all. And you will be prompted to this. So don't feel like something has cut out on the audio, because there will be 2 minutes where you will be in your own hero's journey experience without me talking. So you ready? Okay, Val, are you going to do it with us?
I'm going to do it. Absolutely.
Close your eyes, babe. All right. So everybody just take in some nice, long, deep breaths, knowing you've nowhere to go and nowhere to be, but right here, right now. And just relax in whatever chair you're in. And I want you to imagine that you're walking along a path in a field on a warm, sunny day. You feel the sun warming your body. You can see the grasses and the brush. And you notice a few bright wildflowers. You stop and you smell one of the flowers, taking in the scent of the outdoors. As you continue to walk,
you look up ahead and notice that the path seems to end at the edge of a cliff. And you go to the edge and you look down, but you can't see the bottom. It appears to be very rocky and very steep and very, very wide. A creature is eyeing you from down far in this ravine, but you can't tell what it is. Is it friendly or dangerous? As you look across this wide ravine, you notice that there's a path that seems to come out of the ravine and go up the hill to the other side. As you scan the path and look up the hill, you see a beautiful crystal palace at the top of the hill across the ravine. It is sparkling in the sunlight. You know that inside this crystal palace, there's a very important person or object or gift waiting for you. Your task is to get to the crystal palace to find out who or what is inside, to find out the gift that's waiting for you. You will have 2 minutes of clock time, which is all the time you need in the imagined world to see what happens. My voice will come back in 2 minutes. Until then, just observe what unfolds. Now, wherever you are, remain with your eyes closed, but come back to the here and now. You were given minimal data about how to get to the Crystal Palace, so you generated your own assumptions and scenarios. What assumptions did you make about the nature of the ravine? What judgments did you make about the difficulty in crossing it? To what extent did you doubt your creativity or ability? How confident did you feel that you would get across? How much did you feel in control of the situation? To what extent did you not know how things would turn out? Was the animal a friend or a foe, and how did you find that out? What assumptions did you make about the methods or the tools that were available to you? Did you get stuck for a long time, or was it quick and easy? Did your solutions have to be practical and realistic, or did you allow yourself to invent wild fantasy solutions? Across, or did you have help from another source? Were you concerned what anyone else might think of your solution, and did that influence what you did? What happened once you got to the Crystal Palace? In what ways does the way that you dealt with this journey reflect how you've tried to deal with challenges in your life? What analogies can you make? In what way does this hero's journey with the ravine give you ideas for dealing with a current challenge that you might be facing? Allow your creative spirit to come up with at least one idea. So when you're ready, you can very gently open your eyes. And maybe after you watch this presentation, you might want to journal a little bit and perhaps just start with the prompt, what I learned about myself is. And just for 2 timed minutes, you know, just journal, see what comes up, because this really interesting psychological look into ourselves and our psyche. And, you know, the way we play this game is the way we play our lives. And you get to look at, you know, do you always make it really, really hard? You know, or are you at a place where you're just magical about everything? And do you try to do everything alone? Or were you asking for some help? Because allies are great. Also, did you receive a gift? And if you didn't, I want you, before you go to sleep tonight, to go back in your mind's eye and go back to the Crystal Palace and get your gift, because everybody deserves a gift. So those are some things that are interesting. Anything you want to share, Miss Val?
I had an amazing journey.
Cool.
Wow, that was such a beautiful invitation. I feel like I want to share it.
Share it.
I felt there this presence of a being, something that I couldn't see, but I trusted that it was there to support me. And I stood at the edge and I just opened my arms and I let myself fall. And I was picked up by this huge, completely magical hawk. That's like a bird that I connect with so deeply, who I just held on, and we flew and we flew and we flew and we flew. And we finally made it to the Crystal Palace and we went inside and I was there. Myself, I was there. Like I came face to face with myself. And it, you know, it really feels to me that, you know, I'm in a time in my life, you know, where like you, like we've done so many things and hold so many things within us and possibilities. And I feel like more than ever, especially with the intensity of what's happening in our world, that I'm really getting the ways that I need to show up. And I feel like I'm coming into my, I just want to say like my deeper sense of my service to the world more powerfully than ever right now. And it felt like that to me. Like when I went through that journey, I felt like, here I am so fully. Yeah. And I think that's what prompted me to creating the Awaken to Wholeness Summit, because I'm feeling this so present within me and wanted to invite us all to step into this place, because I know that when we know ourselves so fully, when we trust ourselves so fully, when we allow ourselves to be in our creative space and to recognize our gifts and to live them powerfully and to take part in the larger world, that we can create a more connected and compassionate world. And this is the invitation. So that was an amazing. It really mirrored where I feel I am right now. Thank you for that.
Great.
Wow. Beautiful, Jen. This has been an incredible conversation and so much. Like, I can't wait to go back and listen to it again. Yay. And for those of you, I know that everybody is receiving this as well. You know, Jen is offering us another free gift, which is an invitation to meet your future self.
Yes.
So make sure you click on the link next to this video So you can collect that beautiful gift. And it's another amazing guided journey that I have done with you before. And it's very powerful to envision what you're stepping into in the years to come.
Based on quantum physics, you know, because according to quantum physics, the past, present, and the future is all happening simultaneously. It's one big now. So right now we're here in this conversation, and right now we are 20 years from now, older, wiser, been there, done that. And so if you have this burning question that you are not sure of which path to take, or you just want some wisdom, and instead of taking the poll and asking your best friend, what do you think I should do, and your mother, what do you think I should do, and your partner, what do you think I should do, and getting 20 different answers, imagine that you can just ask your older, wiser future self. So it's a very powerful meditation. The music is amazing. It's super cinematic. And so many people have come through this meditation and really have had some profound shifts and illuminations and awareness. And so I'm really happy to gift it to all of you.
Thank you, Jen. It's
awesome.
Reminds us of the wisdom that we have within us that's always here, that we always have access to. And it really does bring us into that space of trust. Trusting
yes.
on that deeper level. It's awesome. And for those of you that, you know, we have an opportunity to purchase an upgraded package for the summit. Everything's free, of course, and all of these gifts are free. We also have an invitation to purchase an upgraded package that will not only give you all of these videos and audios that you can watch at any time, you have them forever, but you'll also have access to a handful of amazing masterclasses and some other incredible bonuses. And one of those masterclasses is going to be with Jen, and it's how to overcome anxiety and stop obsessive thinking. I know that's going to be awesome. I can't wait to dive into that, Jen.
Yep, it's great. If you're experiencing any fear around the state of the world right now, if you're feeling fear around, you know, really wanting to go after your dream and being stopped by fear, any kind of fear and anxiety, you know, mild, severe, they are 10 different powerful mindfulness tools to really take that anxiety down from like a 10 to a 2. Mm. I wish I could say a 0, but that would be like a Xanax and a bottle of wine. We don't do that.
Exactly. And that's not really taking...
I say mindfulness is... Meditation is the best medication. Mm-hmm. But it's a masterclass that came out of the most tumultuous time in my life. And that was last year when I was going through a period with my teenage son where we were at odds, and he went to go live with his dad for 4 months. And as a mother, you can imagine this was the hardest 4 months of my entire life. And I couldn't sleep and I couldn't eat. And I had to keep showing up as a coach and a teacher and a leader. And I just gathered all the tools that I had in my toolbox, and I put together a system that had me stay present, be in acceptance of what was, and really be able to manage my anxiety going through that time and stay in the space that we would be reconnected and that we would come back together and have an amazing relationship. And he's in the other room. Everything turned out okay.
Awesome, Jen. I know it's going to be powerful.
We all go through stuff.
Yeah, we do. And then that brings me full circle to what I started with saying, which is something I love about you so dearly, is that you are a living example and you are so radically authentic in the way that you teach and the way that you live. And you know, you take your life lessons and you put them into these amazing, you know, digestible ways that we can all benefit from and grow from and deepen. And thank I just you. Honor you so deeply for the incredible thank woman that you are.
And thank you. And I also just want to share that, that we're going to be sharing proceeds, and Val has invited us to share our proceeds, part of our proceeds that to go towards a cause. And my retreat company, Om Lux, picks a different cause every year. This year we have chosen to help save the elephants in Africa that are being poached,
killed. And we just came back from a trip where we visited, saved the elephants, and met the baby elephants that a lot of this money is going to, because when their parents, the tusks are taken and they die, then the baby elephants actually need their moms for 10 years and milk for the first 3 or 4. So a lot of the money is going towards to raise these baby elephants. So they still need more help. You'll have the link on there. So that's going to be the cause where I get to make my contribution in the world. And, you know, I welcome everybody to find something that lights you up, whether it's children or animals or a health cause or anything that maybe somebody that you know or something that's close to your heart that you're passionate about, and really get out there. And whether it's donating money or your time or starting a fundraiser, like, that to me is the juiciest work that I do in the world, the work that I make absolutely no money at, and I get to make a difference, because that's why we're all here. This is the point, you know, to come together in community, to help each other. And now more than ever, it is so important that we take it off the I and we put it on the we, and we just ask ourselves, how can I be in service? What is my contribution? So Val, I just want to thank you, because I know that this is the heart of this entire series, this entire summit. And you, to me, have always been a leader and a mentor in this realm. Like, everything you do, like, who you are is service to me. That's how you show up for me. And it's just amazing. You're just incredible. And I'm just so grateful that you have chosen me to be a part of this. And I love you.
I love you too. And thank you for bringing that to our awareness as far as what we're doing with the proceeds. The entire summit is donating 50% of all of our proceeds to the Children in Nature Network. And I love that we're going to be helping these elephants. You know, all the speakers are also invited to donate to a charity of their choice or our main charity. So everything, you know, if you purchase the upgrade package, know that basically 75% of it is going to these various causes, so we can really pay it forward and make a difference in the world, and more than just talk and, you know, and really in action, because that's what it's about. It's about the sacred action, being leadership in our world, as you so eloquently said, Jen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome, honey. Thank you so much. And just
so welcome. This is awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it. Thanks for having me.
Mwah. Love you, sis.
Love you too.